The Commission's investigation team just returned from a number of missions in hotspots around South Sudan, and one of them, particularly Southern Unity State. There they documented the gang rapes of women on multiple times, and of course this included the gang rapes of children and the elderly as well. The challenge, of course, is that for many of these women, this is not the first time that this has happened. And I would say that if the government was really serious about dealing with conflict-related sexual violence, they would actually send a special team down there to Unity State to investigate why this is proliferating. The challenge, of course, for the survivors is that they're not able to access immediate medical care. And in one instance, a woman was walking around with fistula injuries. This was not what she suffered from this rape this time. It happened on a previous occasion. There's no access really to medical support. And of course, as funds for the humanitarians are drying up, it's really making it very difficult to find the kind of support that the NGOs need to help the survivors along. And that is why it's really pleasing to have heard this morning that the Foreign Secretary for the UK announced a £1.8 million fund for South Sudan. Hopefully that will find its way to supporting both criminal accountability and, of course, access to support services for survivors. The women of South Sudan that I've met here at the conference and, of course, in South Sudan itself are tired, really, of campaigns. What they've said they want to see is action. And, in fact, as we've documented their testimonies, many of them say, how many more times are you going to take my testimony and what are you actually going to do about it? And that's a message, really, directly to the government of South Sudan. We know that there are perpetrators who hold incredibly high positions, either as county commissioner or in charge of the security forces or as governors. If you're serious, dismiss them, investigate, and then find a way to criminally prosecute them. But this requires changes in law as well. And South Sudanese law does not provide for command or superior responsibility. And while we've seen a number of military trials, we've seen the specialized court dealing with conflict-related sexual violence, the reality, of course, is that we're prosecuting foot soldiers and those who occupy higher positions and who are directly responsible for both commission and omission don't actually get held accountable. In fact, they get promoted. And that sends a message to survivors that the government doesn't really care about what is happening to them. The government of South Sudan has been signing declarations, participating in debates around the world around about conflict-related sexual violence. But all of those joint statements and communiques they issue is really pointless if they don't deal with the people in their ranks who continue to have command and control over these situations and actually don't deal with those who are perpetrating these horrendous violations. So action counts more than written statements. If we go back to 2013 and you look at the way in which, despite the work of the African Union's Commission of Inquiry, this has just intensified across the country, 2016. And then every year after that, at a localized level, the reality, of course, is that for women, they just see impunity deepen. And in fact, that impunity is allowing perpetrators to think they can get away with it. We haven't even talked about the way in which women are abducted and used as sexual slaves in South Sudan. Nobody has ever been held accountable for that, despite the fact that we have a governor at a particular level who was responsible for abducting 400 women, and nobody did anything about it. So the government is sending a message that, in fact, women are commodities and are expendable. And what South Sudanese women are saying is get real and really take action against these perpetrators.